Well, good morning, church. Can you believe it's Christmas time? Christmas season, 20 days. Everyone say 20 days. It's sneaking up on you. It's coming very, very quickly, and I can't believe here we are as a church in the Christmas season. If you're new to our church, every December we take the entire month just to focus on a theme around Christmas time. And this season, this Christmas, it's grace among us. Grace among us is what we're going to be talking about over the next few weeks as we unfold all things Jesus, because that's what the Christmas season is all about. You know, Christmas belongs to the church. It belongs to the church. It's the message of the church. It's the reason for the church. And so it's our message that we boldly proclaim, and we proudly proclaim, and we passionately proclaim, because we believe in the life that Jesus came to give us. We believe in the lifestyle. You know, Jesus came to give you both a life and a lifestyle. A life and a lifestyle. We used to sing a song eons ago in church, which was called, "I Found a New Way of Living. I Found a New Life Divine. I've Got the Joy of the Spirit." It's a great old song which just reinforces the truth that Jesus came not only to give us the fullness of life, but he came to give us a lifestyle, a pattern, came to give us a way to live, came to give us attitudes and attributes and parts of our nature that needed to be changed according to his word and his ways. And really the church exists to help bring that change, to help be a voice to that change. So Christmas, we all love Christmas, and we love the season, love the trees. Don't you love the trees? I want to say thank you to our team that came in and just spent the night putting up all the decorations and having a lot of fun doing that and dressing up the place, because we want it to be festive. We want it to be jolly. Turn to your neighbor and say, be jolly.
Be jolly.
Be jolly. It's the season for it. It is. It's the season to be jolly. We love the food. Who loves the Christmas food? I'm kind of panicking already thinking of all the food that, not that has to be prepared, but that has to be eaten. Because somebody's got to take care of that side of it. The preparation's the easy part. It's the disposing of it that is the challenge for all of us. I love the celebration that takes place really all over the month in different ways, in workplaces, in celebratory dinners, and just getting together with your family, which is really what Christmas is all about, getting together with your family and getting together with your friends. I love the carols. I really enjoyed the carols this morning. Big thank you to our creative team. Why don't you give them a hand? Amazing job. Amazing job. You know, carols are one of the hardest things to sing when you're a singer or a worship leader in a church, because you only do them once a year. And everyone said, thank the Lord for that. We only do them once a year, and so we're not singing them all the time, and they're a real challenge. And I really thank the guys for what they did with the carols, the item. Thank you so much for everybody involved in that. You know, Christmas comes alive for every one of us when we look beyond the veil and look at the intentionality of the plan of God for every one of us to receive the life and the lifestyle that he promised to give us. And God's plan has massive implications on humanity, massive implications for every single one of us when we get behind the season and really look for the reason that God is here. It's an oldie, but it's a goodie. Jesus didn't come for a season. He came for a reason. He didn't come for a season. He came for a reason. We needed him. I'm not sure that we're all aware of that today for our online family that are joining us today. If you're viewing today, I'm not sure we all understand this point as potently as we should, but we do need Jesus. Every one of us needs Jesus. Church is not a club. It's not like the RSL club. It's not like a sports club that you just belong to. This is a part of our life and a part of our lifestyle, the way that we do the journey together. There was a reason that Jesus came, and it was spoken to Joseph, who was the stepfather of Jesus. It was spoken to him about his wife-to-be, called Mary, who was the mother of Jesus, because Joseph was a little concerned that Mary was pregnant. He was a little concerned about how that had transpired. And so the angel spoke to him in a dream and said, "Hey, Joseph, don't worry about it." And says this, "She will give birth to a son, And you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, that the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. That's a problematic statement, that statement right there, that the virgin will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. You know, this Christmas story has profound and eternal effects and impact on all of humanity, not because of the stable, not because of the animals and the donkeys and the shepherds, but because this story is unpacking the covert operation that heaven let me have a drink of water. Who's Kevin? I've just introduced a new character into the Christmas story. A covert operation that heaven was instigating in terms of rescuing humanity. And this covert operation, it was to bring, you know, the love of God. It was to bring the light of God. It was to bring the mercy of God and the grace of God to earth. And we're going to unpack that over the next few weeks, each one of those points. It was to bring God's presence, it was to bring his power, but ultimately it was to bring his grace. It was to bring his grace. You know, grace is something that all of us are in need of. We're in need of the grace of God, which encompasses his mercy, his love for us, and his commitment to us. You know, the times that Jesus was born into, they were much like the times that we're in now in some ways. The time that Jesus was born into, they were dark and they were terrible and difficult times when the people of Judea were very demoralized and discouraged, greatly depressed because of the rule of the Roman government. The rule of the Roman government was strict. The rule of the Roman government was dominant right throughout all of Judea. And there were times of great uncertainty and insecurity, times of confusion, challenge, and chaos. And we could really say today, not much has changed. Today, there's a lot of pressure around, there's a lot of stress and anxiety around today due to what we've been experiencing over the last few years as a nation, as a world, as a state, and as a city, as a church. We've been experiencing it in varied ways, and this pandemic has really changed our world. And our new normal kind of has no normality to it. We're all hoping the borders are open for Christmas because many of us have loved ones that are planning on coming home for Christmas, and we want them to come home for Christmas, don't we? We do. I don't care what variant of the thing is out there. I just want people to come home is what I want, and for people to be with people and to celebrate together. You know, for many, I guess the last few years has been a very oppressive moment for many of us. It's certainly been a season of uncertainty. It's been a season of insecurity, confusion, challenge, and chaos. And in all of that, the thing that's hopeful for me is the message of Jesus. It really is. The message of Jesus, as unpacked in the original Christmas account, still brings great hope to these dark days, just like it did to the dark days that Jesus was born in. You see, Jesus came and he modeled a culture. He modeled a life and he modeled a lifestyle for us to live. He modeled a way, a path. He modeled attributes and attitudes that he wanted us to engage with and embrace as a people. And so the question is, what does Jesus want me to do in response to how he lived? And the answer is simple. Be like Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and say, be like Jesus. Be like Jesus. Be like Jesus. Be the same. Do as he did. He came and he let the love and the light and the mercy and the grace of God shine in a dark, dark world. And so today I want to talk to you about the topic of love, that love reached down. This is the message of Christmas, that Christmas is all about the love of God reaching down for every one of us. In John 1:14 in the Message Bible, and I read it in the Message Bible because I like it. It says, the Word became flesh and blood. In other words, he became just like us. He became human. Jesus became human and moved into our neighborhood. And we saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. You know, the Bible says here that Jesus was just like the Father, and we are to be just like Jesus. So Son like Father, and then sons of God like the Son, who is also like the Father. We are called to be the same, to act and behave like Jesus. You know, the message of Christmas is that God has moved into our neighborhood. In other words, he's become close to us. He's come close to all of humanity. A lot of people have this perspective of God, this picture of God, this concept of God, that he's far, far away. He's the far, far away God. He's the distant God that's out there somewhere. But nothing could be further from the truth in terms of the Christmas story, because the Christmas story unpacks the truth that this far, far away God came to be close to us. He actually moved into the neighborhood. And so love reached down to us. Love in Jesus came down to earth to be among us. And so God is no longer this unreachable God, this concept that's out there somewhere. The Bible presents him as someone that's up close, personal, and there was a time in history when he was physically in flesh and blood among us, walking among us, and they beheld his glory, and he became that reachable, touchable God. This is the message of Christmas. The message of Christmas is that love reached down for every one of us. In 1 John 4:8, it says this about love. It says, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God is love. God doesn't just love. God is love. In other words, his nature is love. His essence is love. His heart is love. His being is love. His posture is love. And his purpose is love. Do you know, love reaching down is the thought of what Jesus has always done. Reaching down is what Jesus did. It's what he does, and it's what he always will do. He'll always be reaching down to earth. There was a time and a story of a true account in the Bible of a woman who needed someone to reach down for her in a moment that turned really bad for her. You see, the priest slammed open the doors of her bedroom, and they threw back the covers and they dragged her out and they said, shame on you. And they dragged her out into the city and cast her naked body before a group of people that had gathered in the street. And if the bedroom raid had not been embarrassing enough, the priest thrust her into the middle of a Bible class. And this is what the story says in John 8. It says, Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning he was back again at the temple. And a crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and he taught them. As he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? Caught in the act. Right in the middle of the moment of passion, caught by the Jerusalem Council of Decency and Conduct. And the question of Jesus was, the law says she should be stoned. What do you say we should do? You see, this woman is like many of us. Actually, she's like all of us. She represents humanity. Here she is in a moment in life where she had no exit. No exit. No escape. No way out. She was in trouble. She couldn't defend herself. No one would speak for her because of the authorities that held her. And her accusers stood all around her. And yet Jesus stooped. for her. Jesus stooped for her and he wrote in the dust. The next verse says they were trying to trap Jesus into saying something that they could use against him. So in other words, she was just a pawn in their hands. They weren't considerate of her at all. They were ready to waste her. And yet Jesus is about to do something which shows the real heart and the nature of this loving God reaching down. It says, but Jesus stooped down and he wrote in the dust with his finger. Now, we would expect Jesus to stand and we would expect Jesus to speak in his defense, but he didn't stand and he didn't speak. He stooped. He stooped. He got down lower than the accusers. He got down lower than the woman that was accused. And he stooped on the ground, and the Bible says he wrote something. You know, it wasn't the first time or the last time that Jesus stooped, because Jesus had a habit of stooping, because that's what love does. Love stoops. Love gets down low. Jesus stooped to wash the disciples' feet. Jesus stooped to make himself of no reputation, is what the Bible says. Jesus stooped to pray in the garden. Jesus stooped before a Roman whipping post when he went to the cross. Jesus stooped to carry his cross. And here we see him stooping to write in the dust. While he was writing, the posse of accusers, they grew more and more impatient with this silent, stooping Jesus. And it says they kept demanding an answer, and so he stood up. Jesus is the lamb, but he's also the lion. Yeah. He's little Jesus, meek and mild, but he's also the leader of the pack. Yeah. Yeah. There's a time to stoop, and there's a time to stand. And he stood because he had stooped. He had stooped to remind the accusers of who he was. He didn't give them a verbal answer. He gave them a written one in the dust. And Jesus stooped and then he stood up. He didn't stand to preach. His words weren't many. He didn't stand to instruct his followers. He didn't address them. He stood on behalf of the woman. He placed himself between her and the lynch mob. And he said, all right, the one without sin can cast the first stone. And he offered them the rocks. And then it says this. He stooped down again. He wrote in the dust. And when the accusers heard this, they slipped away. They slipped away after he had said, you without sin cast the first stone. They slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. In other words, the name callers, they shut their mouths. The rocks fell to the ground. They walked away. But Jesus wasn't finished. He stood one final time and he asked the woman this. It says, Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? And she said, no, Lord. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. I love the fact that when everyone else left, the one who stooped and the one who stood was still standing. And I want you to know, church, he's still standing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's still standing. He's still standing today. And he's standing because he stooped. The Bible says because Jesus humbled himself, he is now exalted. He is now exalted. He stood and he's lifted up is what the Bible says. And the Bible says he has been given a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Don't judge anything by the fact that it stoops. In actual fact, power is found in stooping. Jesus stooped and then he stood. And he stood with the one who was marginalized. He stood with the one whose reputation was going to be destroyed. He stood with the one who stood accused with no one to stand for her and no one to speak for her. What a powerful question Jesus asked this woman. Where are your accusers? Is there not one? And she said, no, Lord, not one. And he said, well, neither do I accuse you. Neither do I accuse you. You know, the Bible says, Pastor Marichal quoted it before, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, the very next verse says, for Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world. He did not come into the world to condemn the world, to judge the world. It's that we judge ourselves by our non-acceptance of him, our non-belief in him. Love reached down not to judge. Love reached down to embrace, to engage, to represent, to stand for. That's what love came down for at Christmas time. And so for us, this question is not just for this woman, it's also for us today. The voices that condemn you or have condemned you, the voices in the world, the voices in your head, you know you have them. The voices of guilt and shame. The voices of I've failed, I'm a failure. The voices that remind us of every stumble, every mistake. The voices that frame us in a certain way. The voices that make conclusions about who we are because of what we've done. What we've done. You know, God stooped to bring love, light, mercy, and grace. And that's the message of Christmas. And the message of Christmas for every one of us that I want us to understand is God stands with us in our struggles and in our challenges and in our moments and in our heartaches, whether things are good or whether things are bad. In every season, love reaches down and love keeps reaching. The love of God keeps reaching towards us, and God is with you in the middle of your moment. And while others walk away, God will still be standing with you at the conclusion of your moment. God will still be standing with you. Christmas is all about the power of heaven coming to earth. His love, his light, his mercy, his grace, his healing, his favor, his goodness, his salvation, his blessing, his divinity. Christmas is God with us. Anyone in the room grateful for Christmas? Anyone in the room grateful for Jesus? Come on. Anyone in the room grateful that love reached down and it keeps reaching? It keeps reaching. You can't escape the love of God reaching down. It is inescapable, the love of God. So love reaches down to save us. That's why it reaches down. It reaches down to save us, not to make us feel good. It reaches down to save and restore our hearts in terms of the brokenness of sin. Jesus came, the Bible says, to save us from our sins. He came to save us from our struggles. He came to save us from our trouble. And so the Christmas message to every sinner, and that's everyone that is a human being, to every sinner is this, is that love reached down and sinners are saved. This is the life-changing truth of Christmas. This is what the message and the story is all about. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. It's amazing grace. And what a sweet, sweet sound that love loves sinners. Love loves sinners. Doesn't judge sinners. It loves sinners. You see, God doesn't let us down. God reaches down. God doesn't let us down. God reaches down. God never, ever lets us down. But he always, always continues to reach down. God doesn't leave us down when he finds us down. God lifts us up. God's plan is called Christmas. You know, God reached down to stand for us and to stand with us. To wipe away the tears. To dust us off. Remove the sorrow and restore the dignity. Aren't you glad that God moved into your neighborhood? You know, sometimes when people move into your neighborhood, it's a good thing. They're a blessing. Sometimes it's not. I want you to know the day that Jesus moved into the neighborhood was the best day on earth. When the sun of God, Jesus, became human, became flesh for us and became among us. And I want you to know he may be physically in heaven, but spiritually by his spirit, he's here with every single one of us today. And the love of God keeps reaching you. And wherever you're at today, it'll keep reaching out to you and reaching for you. And so God's close to your heart today. He's close to your hurt. He's close to your conflict. And He's close to your concern. He's close to your family. He's close to your friends. And this is how we should live in terms of this Christmas season and this Christmas moment, that we would be like Jesus, that we would be like Jesus, that we would be present, and that we'd be reaching down and reaching out to express the love that God has placed in our hearts for others, to be a reflector of that, to be a reflection of that, so that others can be a recipient of that. That's what God has called us to be. We're going to hand out the communion emblems right now. I want to encourage you, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, take the cup, take the biscuit, hold it in your hand, and we're going to partake together in a moment. We're going to celebrate the fact that love has reached down for us. You know, they nailed Jesus to the tree, not understanding that this was part of the pathway of exalting Him. Not understanding that this is part of the pathway of literally lifting Him up. He'd humbled Himself. He'd stooped at the foot of that cross when they beat Him, when they whipped Him. They whipped Him beyond recognition. He'd humbled Himself and bowed His knee and stooped in the Garden of Gethsemane as He prayed in great anguish for the pain and the journey and the moments that He knew were coming His way. And yet when they nailed Him on that cross, He also understood that the Father would lift Him up. The Father would honor Him, and the Father would give Him the name that is above every other name. And that at that name and at His name, every knee would bow and every tongue would confess. Would you stand to your feet, please? So thankful today that Jesus not only came into our neighborhood, but that He had a life and a lifestyle of stooping. And it wasn't a sign of weakness. It was actually a sign of strength. He said, I didn't come to be served, unlike every other authority of His day. He said, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. In other words, I came to live a life of bowing my knee. And He did it in every circumstance and in every situation. And today we celebrate Him as the Lamb, but we also know Him to be the Lion. We also know Him to be the leader. We also know Him to be the one who will lead victory in every situation, in every circumstance, on our behalf. And I want you to understand today that these emblems, they speak to our need today. They speak to our need of God's provision and God's protection, of God's concern and God's love and His mercy and His grace for every one of us today. So no matter what's in your world today, right now, know this. Know that love reached down for you and you were loved. The woman who was dragged before Jesus and accused, she left that day knowing that one loved her above all others. And she left that day understanding what true love was. It wasn't a moment of passion. True love was someone that would stand with her, and someone that would represent her, and someone that would fight on her behalf. That's our Savior. And we're so grateful. Father, we're so grateful today for the love of Jesus. We're so grateful today that Jesus has reached down for every single one of us today. And in this Christmas season, may we be aware, more aware than we normally are. More aware of Your grace. More aware of Your love. More aware of Your light. More aware of Your mercy. More aware of Your concern and Your understanding of us. More aware of Your intervention, Father, to make things right in our world, our personal world and our bigger world. And so we present ourselves to You this Christmas, God, this Christmas season. And we take this moment to say thank You for all things, Jesus. We thank You, Father, that You sent Your very best gift into this world to redeem us of our sins today and to make us right with you. We celebrate that today. Thank you for the life, and thank you for the lifestyle that you've come to give to every single one of us in Jesus' name. My prayer for you today, whether you're online or whether you're in the room, is that if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you don't know Jesus as your defender and your protector, if you don't know Jesus as the one that would wash away your sins and to cleanse you, like the Bible says, from all things that are not right, that's what Jesus does, then my prayer for you is that you would discover this God to be your personal up-close God, up-close and personal. He's your personal representative. He's your one and only Savior. He's your heavenly gift to you. And you're going to get gifts this Christmas. And some of them you're going to wonder, do I really need that? This gift called Jesus is the one gift you cannot afford to go without. The one gift you cannot afford to do the journey of life without. So my encouragement to you over this Christmas season is make sure you've said yes to Jesus. Make sure you've said yes to Jesus. And so I think we should stop right now and we should ask ourselves, have I really said yes to Jesus? Have I said yes to his love? Have I enabled his love to reach into my heart and wash away my sins and cleanse me? Have I embraced the life and the lifestyle, the person? Have I responded with the positive? Have I said yes or have I said not yet? Or have I said no? And if you've said no or not yet, it's not too late to say yes. Say yes. That's what the Christmas message is all about. A God that said yes to you. And it's your moment to say yes to him. If you're in the room today, you're online today, you're watching, I want to give you the invitation right now to say yes to Jesus. Have Jesus come into your heart. Begin a relationship with him. Begin a journey with him. Begin living a life with him. Begin living a lifestyle for him. Begin becoming like him in how you live. That's what the Christmas story is. And that story is for you today. Jesus' love reached down, the love of God reached down, not only to change earth, but to change you. And the truth is, we change earth by changing one person at a time, one heart at a time, one yes at a time. My question is it your time? Is it your turn? And if it is, say yes to Jesus today. So before we partake of communion, I want to give you an opportunity to do that, to make sure that you've said yes. I'm going to ask you very simply in a moment to lift up your hand nice and high. And I'll see your hand. I'll ask you to put your hand down. And I'm going to pray a prayer for you from the stage. I'm just going to pray a prayer for hearts to come home to Jesus. And if that's the prayer you want to pray today, lift up your hand nice and high in a moment. Maybe you prayed it years ago, but you know you're well away from God. You know you've disengaged from the heart of God. Today's the day. This is the season, this Christmas season, this Christmas moment, to make it your turn, to make it your time to say yes to Jesus again. If you're online, you can do that. You can make a comment in the comment column and say, yeah, I want to say yes to Jesus. And one of our team will get back to you and just walk you through that process and pray for you today. Right across the room, while every head's bowed, every eye closed for just a moment, just to respect and give people privacy for a few moments. If you're in the room today, if you're online today, you want to say yes to Jesus, ask him to come into your heart. Let love reach down into your personal world today to make this for you, not just for the world, but for you. Why don't you lift up your hand right now, nice and high. Let me see your hand, and I'm going to pray for you today as you say yes to Jesus. Right across this room today, if that's you, lift up your hand nice and high. Let me see your hand. Don't worry about what anyone else is doing. Let me see your hand. I'll pray for you today as you ask Jesus to come into your heart today. If you're online, be making your comments right now. We're going to pray in just a moment. Father, we pray today for people that would come and say yes to Jesus today, to let love reach down into people's hearts and lives today, to make a God difference in this Christmas season. Lord, we ask you to reach down into hearts, and may they never be the same again, is what we pray. And Father, I pray for all of us today. I pray you'd help us all to reach out, because love reached down in this season, to be mindful, to be noticing, to be aware of others during this season, and to let the love of God reach out through us to them, to touch them and change them with the life and the lifestyle that we live. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we thank you for these emblems today. The bread, the juice, representing the life of Jesus, the broken body, the blood that was spilled for the forgiveness of our sins as we partake today. We are so thankful that love reached down. Let's partake together of the broken bread, representing the broken body of Jesus. Also, the juice today, representing his precious blood. The Bible says there's no forgiveness of sins without the spilling of the precious blood of the Lamb. And so today we're so thankful, so grateful that his life was given for every one of us for the forgiveness of our sins. Celebrate together as we drink together today. Thank you, Jesus. Would you please pass your glasses to the end of the aisle? We'll have them collected. While you're still standing, we're going to finish this morning I'm not sure what we're going to finish with, actually. I think I want our team to re-sing the first carol that we started with, and we finish with a bit of joyful, whatever that was. God bless you. Thank you.